The previous day, I'd been recording a cast radio promo for a theatre revival of the 70s farce One Door Closes. It was bad enough that Mark, the audio producer, was drunk in charge of a studio. Then came the shocking news that Dave, the show's director, had unexpectedly died. Or, as the company manager euphemistically said, passed.
Give me the phone.
God in heaven.
Give it to me.
I thought I was being mugged in my own kitchen.
My kitchen, actually.
Why are you dressed like a neon Darth Vader?
It's an anti-Prussian
cycling mask. And if you don't stop playing ringtones, no court in the land will blame me for beating you to death.
What, with a bicycle pump?
The damage I could inflict with a bicycle pump, you don't want to know.
No, I don't. Although I'm digging the look you're rocking.
I don't rock a look.
Oh, you rock, lady, you rock. And what you're rocking is a cool futuristic space android vibe.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm saying I only have eyes for you.
Bloodshot and short-sighted.
I can't help my eyesight.
If only teenage Charles had listened to his mother.
Why are you still here?
Why indeed? Are any of us here?
I mean here, in my kitchen, messing around with your phone.
Did you know you can download vintage novelty pop song ringtones?
Perfect for receiving bad news.
Killjoy.
Shouldn't you be rehearsing?
Well, everything's up in the air since Dave passed. Doesn't that fatuous euphemism drive you mad?
I wouldn't say mad.
It drives me to distraction.
What doesn't?
Passed over was twee enough. What's wrong with died? My husband passed in the night. Sounds like an unscheduled bowel movement.
Your director's dead and you're fulminating about the language used to tell you.
I'm a Radio 4 listener. That's the way we roll. And someone's demise is no excuse for infantilising the language. I want it on the record, and this is an executive order.
Yes, Mr. President.
When I die, I don't want any pussyfooting. Just tell people I'm dead.
Yes, sir, Mr. President. You've got all the best words, sir.
I've got all the words, all the biggly words, and past isn't one of them.
Does this mean you're going to be sitting around the house all day, annoying the hell out of me and waiting for the phone to ring?
I'm not a waiter. I'm a doer.
You should put that on a T-shirt.
I read it off a T-shirt, worn, ironically, by a waiter.
So, what's the doer doing today?
There's a meeting about the show this afternoon, and in case I need a plan B, I'm going to give Morris a ring after breakfast.
Good. Well, I'm off to the gym. Help yourself to goji berry granola.
Mmm, scrummy.
But I'd heard about a new hot damn soul food cafe serving a chilli breakfast off the Scoville scale.
There you go, my friend. Leaf cutlets braising our super spicy Creole gravy with grits, two fried eggs, and a cream biscuit.
Got any chili sauce?
How extra?
Try me.
That's fighting talk.
Fighting's my middle name.
Really?
More of a lover. In my head, that sounded cooler than when I said it.
You don't need cool, you need hot. Mama's Gree-Gree special sauce coming up.
While I waited for Mama's Gree-Gree special sauce, I decided it was time to activate Plan B.
You've reached the voicemail of Morris Skellum.
Although insecurity is endemic in my profession, self-preservation instinctively kicks in, and when it does, there's only one person to call.
You've reached the voicemail of Morris Skellum.
Of course, like most actors, I'm self-deluding enough to live in the misguided belief that my agent has my best interests at heart.
You've reached the voicemail of...
Then again, a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Mama's Gree-Gree special sauce for Mr. Fighting's my middle name.
Let the good times roll.
Did that also sound cooler in your head?
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Oh, mama.
Fired up and fueled, I abandoned the phone and decided on a course of direct action.
Actually, I'm so over Vietnamese street food after a bad experience with some pho last week. 24
Hi.
Hours, swear to God, I was
Excuse
turning
me.
Inside out. Nah, not really in an Ethiopian mood.
When you finished?
Ugh, there's an old guy here giving me evils. Yeah, one moment. What about Peruvian? ID said it's the New Mexican. Yeah, seven's good for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah, cool, yeah. Yeah. Yes, hello.
What? Oh, who, me?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Only I don't want to get in the way of your social life.
I don't do sarcasm.
You should. The oldie said it's the new passive-aggressive.
See, that's wasted on me.
I'd like to see Morris.
Morris?
Skellon? Morris Skellon, name's on the door. The Morris Skellon Agency? Yes? No? The old guy who pays you to arrange your social life in company time?
Yeah, I'm an intern. Oh, hiya, Sophie. Yeah, it's Sophie. Safe in reception. Look, there's a guy here. No, I can't tonight. Yeah, there's a guy here. I'm going Peruvian with Lucy and Cassie and
Izzy. Oh, for God's sake.
So there's a guy who wants to see another guy, and I think the guy he wants to see might be the one you look after. No, old, shouty, wanders around looking grumpy.
His name's Morris.
Oh, now this one's gone shouty. Yep, you know, fake tan, badly dyed hair. Yeah.
Morris!
You've spent billions developing tiny microphones, so you don't have to bellow.
I've got good reason to bellow.
Sophie said you left a message?
Upstairs, Sophie, or reception, Sophie. And for your information, I left several messages.
You sound stressed.
Really?
I'm hearing unbalanced chat.
It comes from having an agent who never gets back to me.
I've been in New York.
Thanks for telling me.
What are you, my mother? And I'm getting back to you now.
Yeah, well, I'm standing in your reception.
I know you
are. Holy... You nearly gave me a heart attack. Where'd you come from?
The gents.
You phoned me from the lavatory.
I live a time-poor life.
This is him, by the way. Old guy, shouty, wanders around looking grumpy.
How dare you?
I'm quoting her.
How dare she? Young lady, you're fired.
Yeah, I'm an intern.
Consider yourself disinterned.
Can I make one last call to my mother? She audits your accounts.
Oh, well, don't think you're getting a lunch break. Come on, Charles, I'll treat you to a cuppa.
You phoned me from the lavatory.
Don't take this personally, but you look like death warmed up.
How could I possibly take that personally?
Do you eat anything apart from bar snacks?
Have you been talking to Francis?
There you go, guys. Two green matcha teas.
Ah, yummy.
Seriously?
Full of antioxidants.
I'm pro-oxidants. I marched for them in 1970. Beardy boy left a brush on the side. Do I drink it or shave with it?
It's a chasen.
I thought that was a Jewish singer.
That chasen. You take your chasen, like so, whisk the tea till you get a nice green foam, then...
Chuck it away and ask for a cup of builders.
What are you, on day release from Barbaria?
Oh, yuck.
Oh, cleansing. Shouldn't you be rehearsing? Oh, God, what have you done?
And we're off.
Just tell me how bad it was and who I've got to schmooze to give you a second chance for the umpteenth time in your career.
I've done nothing wrong.
Then why are you haunting me?
Dave Girton's dead.
How could they tell?
Morris.
Another of my clients was in a Girton production. Had to hold a mirror to his mouth to check he was breathing.
Well, he's not anymore.
Which is tragic. Very sad. Terrible loss. Gone before his time. Greatly missed, etc., etc. When's the funeral?
Why?
He may be dead, but his contact book lives on. Dave Girton was fantastically well-connected.
Just when I think I've heard it all, you could still shock me.
That's what keeps our relationship fresh.
Dave wasn't very old, so, you know, it's a bit...
What?
Mysterious.
Only to you. Don't play the cop unless you're auditioning.
If they ever remake The French Connection.
I think you're more Inspector Clouseau.
What happens if they pull the plug on the show?
Ain't gonna happen, Bobby.
Well, you're very confident.
You're under contract to the meanest producers in the business. The entire cast could die on the first night. They still sell tickets to the Shiva. Who's taking over from Dave?
There's a rehearsal this afternoon, and for now, Tony DeLorme's running the whole shooting match.
Oh, he's a safe pair of hands.
As company manager, can he direct a farce?
He doesn't need to. It's one of those shows that runs itself, and between Bernard Walton, Freddie George and Susie Stone, there's 100 years comedic experience in the cast.
What about me?
What indeed? Your entire career's been a farce.
I'm this close to ramming my chasen down your wizened throat.
Do you know, I've never seen anyone more in need of cleansing their chakras.
Will clean chakras help pay the rent?
Francis makes you pay rent.
She doesn't make me.
I thought...
What?
Never mind.
You thought what?
I thought you had an arrangement.
What? Like I'm her gigolo?
At your age.
I do have a homeopathic trace of self-respect, so yes, I pay rent. And I'd like to continue doing so, providing the show doesn't fold.
It won't. This is a temporary hiatus. Treat it as an opportunity to clean up your act. Join a gym. Eat something green that's supposed to be green. Come on, I'll treat you to a bowl of kimchi full of healthy bacteria and only 34 calories.
I politely declined, then nipped round to Maury's Emporium of Cholesterol Delights, where I wolfed down a 600-calorie pastrami on rye with two double espressos to wash down the green matcha, gleefully undoing all its good work. By the time I got to the green room, I was wired and suffering a meat sweat.
Welcome, Mr. Bond.
I felt greener than a green room.
I've been expecting you.
And this green room was overcrowded with Susie Stone's personal rep of stock character voices.
Cup of tea, darling.
Oh, no. Thanks, Susie.
You all right, sweetheart?
Actually, I was feeling worse by the second.
You're very red in the face.
Yeah.
No need to blush, Charles.
Since mistakenly seeing her home and then accidentally sleeping on her floor, Susie was labouring under the misconception that there was something special between us.
You look a bit peaky, babes. Fancy an Indian head massage?
No, thanks. I think I'll just pop out for some air.
Once a Victorian hat factory, the rehearsal rooms were built around a central courtyard, now a bin store firing range for incontinent pigeons. On the other hand, it was the perfect place for a sneaky roll-up and a gut-settling digestif.
Do step out of my office, Bernard.
Reluctant to be caught day-drinking, I instinctively hid between two industrial wheelie bins.
Got a light?
Somewhere. You sure we're not overlooked?
We're fine, Bernard. Relax.
Here.
As a glasshouse dweller, I'm in no position to throw stones, but I was surprised to see Freddie and Bernard sparking up a weed woodbine.
This'll sort out your lumbago.
It wasn't their age that surprised me.
Good God, this stuff's weapons grade.
More the fact that Bernard, in particular, cherished his whiter-than-white, squeaky-clean, family-friendly image.
Amazing what you can grow in a conservatory.
You'll have the rozzers banging on your double glazing.
In picturesque Chobham? I don't think so.
Did you know I've got a biography in the pipeline?
You want to see a doctor?
You spent too long in the Benny Hill show. The publisher made me an offer and hooked me up with a writer. Well, a journalist.
You didn't want to write it yourself?
I've got better things to do with my time.
I had heard a rumour about a book deal.
Yeah, it's no big secret, but you see how things get out.
Well, I won't mention it. Scouts honour.
You were kicked out of the Scouts, and it's not the book I'm worried about.
And I won't mention anything else, either.
Good.
I won't mention anything else. What anything, I wondered. And what else?
You know what hacks are like. I don't want anything getting out that could cause embarrassment to me or the family.
Given the fact that Bernard had done a party political broadcast for the Tory party, I'd have thought his embarrassment threshold must have been pretty damn high.
We've all done jobs we'd rather forget when we were young and needed the money.
It was the second time I'd heard that phrase. Last time from Mark.
Any profile I've got has been hard won.
Mum's the word.
What did Freddie know that could be more shaming or damaging to Bernard's profile?
God help anyone who jeopardises it.
Well, I'm hardly going to blab, am I?
If this hack turns up looking for juicy tidbits, I don't want anything getting out.
You and me both.
We'd better go in.
Bernard's hush-hush talk had piqued my interest, but I was more concerned with the gnawing spasms in my abdomen.
Blues is my business, and business is good.
The meeting with our company manager told us little we didn't already know. Dave was dead, Tony said passed again, and pending a post-mortem, we should keep calm and carry on rehearsing.
Are you in the closet, Gordon?
I was in the closet, doubled up in abdominal pain.
Have you been talking to my wife?
Come out of there.
What about Brian?
Never mind Brian.
Galahad!
Quick, Gordon, back in the closet.
Oh, God.
Are you all right in there, Charles?
Yeah. No, actually, no. No, I'm not.
What's wrong?
I feel like I've swallowed a red-hot cannonball.
You've got a funny colour.
I feel wrong. Oh, very, very wrong. Oh.
That's it, Charles. Nice and steady.
Charles.
Mrs. Paris?
Yes, well, no, well, it's complicated.
Okay. He had a bit of a fall, but he's fine.
I didn't have a fall. Old people have a fall, and I didn't have a funny turn either.
I didn't say you had a funny turn.
You didn't say it, but it was hanging in the air.
Quite a character.
Isn't he, Charles?
I'm not a character. I'm a character actor, and I'd rather you didn't talk about me in a third person.
Did you drive here?
Yes.
Well, have you won the rollover? Do you know what they charge in hospital car parks?
I'll leave you to it.
Well, before you go, is it likely to... I mean, is there anything, you know... wrong.
Nothing a few lifestyle changes won't sort out. I've given him a list.
A list of things to make me live longer or to make it feel like I'm living longer?
He's a scream.
He certainly makes me want to. What about medication?
He doesn't need any.
For me.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption.
Someone's ship at
the
school.
Revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon.
Good, because there's a little revolution about to take place right here, right now, starting with me confiscating the coffee grinder.
Oi!
Unless there's a decaf beans.
Wash your mouth up. Where did you learn language like that?
You want a drink?
try one of those.
Wildberry hibiscus inner wellness daily detox. Give me my coffee.
No.
Give me my coffee.
No.
I need my coffee.
You'll thank me in the long term.
I'll be dead in the long term.
According to the doctor's list, you'll be dead in the short term if you don't clean up your act.
Have you been talking to Morris? You have.
We've only got your best interests at heart.
It was his green tea that made me ill.
And there was me thinking it was the full Cajun breakfast followed by half a kilo of pastrami and double espressos, not to mention a lifetime of whiskey and cigarettes.
Step away from the grinder.
No.
Don't make me come over there.
Or what? You'd have to stop by the Bridbin to catch your breath. Now, be a good boy. Sit down and eat your fruit.
Fruit?
What are you, five?
Fruit's not breakfast.
It is now. Apples, bananas, fresh grapes, or there's a packet of prunes in the cupboard.
I can't start the day on a desiccated plum.
Fine. You can have one for lunch, after your jog.
My what? Oh, it's the company manager. Hi, Tony. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, of course. What time and where? OK. I'll see you there. Dave Girton's cremation.
Didn't really go with a Benny Hill theme tune, did it?
Anyway, it's this afternoon, so I'm afraid our jog will have to wait.
Don't sound too upset.
Thing is, it's one of those inconvenient places. There's not far as the crow flies, but there's no direct public transport.
Get a cab.
It's too expensive.
Uber?
Not expensive enough.
If cabs are too expensive...
They spend years earning that green badge, and I defend their right to charge what they like.
You're a victim of your own social conscience.
Tell me about it. I don't suppose you could give me a lift.
I've got a much better idea.
Oh!
Here you go.
Are you insane?
Just put the helmet on.
No.
Hold still.
Francis!
And the mask?
I draw the line at the mask.
On you get.
Oh, do you know the last time I rode a...
You never forget. It's like riding a bike.
Oh.
Now, off you go.
Oh.
Don't worry about drinking and cycling. I took the half bottle out of your jacket pocket.
Tyrant.
4 miles door to door. And I have never been so terrified in my life.
Get out of the bloody way!
4 wheels or two, they all wanted me dead. So I got off and walked the last 3 miles, which inevitably made me late.
Where have you been, Charles?
Oh, helmet!
All right, Bernard.
No, you still got it on, old boy.
Oh, I can't. Can somebody...
Keep still.
Thanks.
What did I miss?
The ceremony.
That's Dave disappearing through the curtains.
A theatrical cremation is the only time the curtains don't reopen for a final bow and a round of applause.
These are all the theme tunes from his TV show.
Not the one set on a cruise ship.
Luxury liner.
That was a stinker.
I was the captain.
You were great, Bernard.
I was the purser.
You were good too, Freddy.
I was the entertainment officer.
Was I the only actor not in it?
We all got legionnaires.
I don't remember that storyline.
In real life.
Help me, Charles.
Okay.
Oh, ow.
Sorry. My pump.
Bloody Pippa.
What's she done now?
I'm like so not good around death. I said no one's good around death. You know what she said?
What?
Yeah, but at your age you must be used to it.
She won't stay young forever.
She won't grow old if I have anything to do with it. You coming back for a drink?
Actually, I've got to get off.
Oh, I'll give you a kiss now then.
What?
Be good.
Yeah. I saw you sneaking in, but how could I not in the silver spaceman helmet, which, by the way, has given you the worst hat hair ever. You missed a good one.
You reviewing funerals on the side now?
Speeches, music, and a final curtain call. It's a show like any other.
Only to you.
Don't tell me you haven't made plans for yours.
Oddly enough.
Mine's going to be a corker. Invitation only, Ticketmaster to handle bookings, Judy and Maggie doing readings, and there's a bidding war between Nick Heitner and Danny Boyle to direct.
I notice you haven't asked me to do anything.
Mm-hmm, presupposing the likelihood you'll outlive me.
I'm starting a fitness regime.
50 quid says you don't last the week.
Make it a slap-up meal and you're on.
Deal. Was that Susie Stone wrapped around you?
She thinks we've got a connection.
Have you?
No. Listen, what do you know about the life and times of Bernard Walton?
National treasure, darling in Middle England, happily and boringly married to the same wife for 40-odd years. Why?
No skeletons in cupboards.
Not that I'm aware.
What about Freddy?
Likewise.
No dark secrets.
He's tight as hell, but that's no secret.
He's also a 60-something stoner.
At his age, you get your thrills where you can.
He grows his own.
Well, he's far too mean to buy it.
You're not surprised.
The baby boomers listen to Gardner's Question Time and read Hunter S. Thompson.
I don't see Bernard or Freddie reading gonzo journalism.
I'll log into the gossip database if you like. If it's there, Morris will snuffle it out.
Bloodhound.
Trufflehound, if you don't mind. Now, come on, Charles. This is a networking opportunity.
It's a funeral.
A funeral full of industry movers and shakers.
I'm a mover and shaker.
With you, it's caffeine and booze. Go forth, my son. Go with my blessing and work the room.
We're not in a room.
Work the garden of rest, then. Henry, I thought I saw you lurking behind the commemorative...
I'm not a great networker at the best of times, and post-cremation seemed like the worst of times.
Oh, there you are, Charles.
Oh, hello, Tony.
He may have been the most loyal and efficient company manager in the business, but Tony Delaunay looked like a man carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Need a hand?
Oh, thanks. This damn chain. You don't want bike oil on your suit.
I still haven't got the bloodstains out after your nosebleed.
Oh, now I feel guilty.
Not as guilty as me. Oh, come on, let's have a look.
What do you feel guilty about?
Things I said to you the other day. About Dave being lazy.
We all knew what he was like.
Yeah, but I can't help feeling. I mean, this is awful.
What did the post-mortem say?
SADS.
SADS?
Sudden arrhythmic death syndrome. Just one of those things.
And there was I gearing up for a Bernard and Freddie murder conspiracy. Maybe Morris was right. Don't play the cop unless you're auditioning.
There you go.
Thanks. Any idea of what's going to happen with the show?
At the moment, I've been left in sole charge, which includes trying to boost ticket sales, which is easier said than done with next to no publicity budget.
That radio promo we did should help.
If I ever get to hear it. Your mate Mark knew it was a priority, didn't he? He said he'd edit that afternoon and get it straight over for approval. Every time I phone, it goes straight to voicemail.
Now it's my turn to feel guilty.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, but I put you in touch with him.
You know what these media people are like. He's probably been busy on another 10 jobs.
The thing was, Mark's partner, Lisa, had told me that business was anything but busy. I'd also got the distinct impression that she was the driving force behind the company and she'd been away when we made our little promo.
Don't worry, Charles. I'll try him again later.
I worked up a thirst on the ride home, so paused at the Drum and Monkey for cordials and restoratives.
Come on.
Big Kev speaking.
Damn!
Yeah? Who's calling? Left your phone in your helmet, Charles.
Ah.
Geezer called Morris.
Cheers. Morris.
You want another double in there?
Another double electrolyte energy drink would be great.
Yada yada, nice try, Charles.
I'm at the gym.
And Big Kev's your personal trainer.
He's a martyr to his hormones.
Looks like that slap-up meal's as good as mine.
I said I'm starting a fitness regime, so the bet's still on.
Well, you're going to need to be fit, flitting between fast rehearsals and another job that's just come in.
What other job?
It's an availability, but wonder of wonders, it's an outright offer.
An offer?
That's what I said to the booker.
You're supposed to big me up.
I'll leave that to Big Kev. Good thing is, it's a voice job, so out of vision.
Oi.
Same people who did the Edwardian porn audiobook.
Erotica.
Potatoes, potatoes.
Did Mark book me?
No, his partner.
Lisa.
Anyway, I'll let you get back to your fitness regime. Sounds like thirsty work. Ciao. Oh, yeah,
my newfound desirability gave me a fresh lease of life. Flushed with the success of my Edwardian erotica, I remounted Francis's bike with renewed vigour and a spring in my pedals.
Mind out! Down. Your dog nearly had me in the canal.
Here, Angel.
Can you please control him?
Well, it's a she, and she thinks you're playing.
Well, I'm not.
Well, she thinks you are.
She may think that, but you can see I'm not, and you're the human.
Well, she's all right.
I'm trying to go home.
Well, she doesn't know that.
But you do.
She's quite gentle.
Quite's not that convincing.
Oh, she's a softie, aren't you a softie? Yes, you are. You're a silly, softy old softie.
Get down.
She's never bitten anyone.
I've only got your word for that. Will you please call her off?
Here, girl.
Oh, for...
Stop it, Angel.
Oh.
Well, she's never done that before.
Charles? 3 hours in A&E.
Again?
Yes, again.
Did they offer you a loyalty card?
Remind me never to get on a bike again.
You were knocked off.
No.
I mean, it's quite an expensive...
Oh, don't worry, Francis.
No, I
mean... Unbelievable.
Obviously, I can see you're in one piece.
Nothing's happened to your precious bike.
Are you all right, Charles?
Yes, Francis. Thank you for asking. I'm fine.
I'm very relieved to hear it. Come into the kitchen.
Oh. Bitten by a dog.
I'm glad you find it funny.
I don't.
I can see.
What sort of dog?
Does it matter?
Well,
the sort with teeth.
I was only...
Surely the breed is immaterial.
I just wondered...
If I'd been knocked off by a car, you wouldn't ask if it was a Mini or a Bentley.
I just wondered if it was a dangerous
dog. It was dangerous to me.
I mean a banned one, like a pit bull or a...
It was a dachshund.
Sausage dog.
Don't be fooled by the cute name. I've just had a tetanus jab in a part of me that was already sore as hell thanks to your bike.
How did you ride back?
I didn't. I pushed it all the way uphill from the hospital.
Oh, well, all good exercise.
I've cycled to a cremation, been bitten by a dachshund and ended up in A&E again. So far, I'm not overly impressed by this exercise business.
It has to get worse before it gets better.
I had a girlfriend who said that.
It was me.
Oh.
And it didn't.
That's good to know.
Sit down and I'll pour you a drink.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, no. I'll have to stand up and drink.
This'll make you feel better.
Oh, yeah. I picked up another job.
You see? Good things happen when you clean up your act.
It's only another voice job.
Is it more Edwardian porn?
Erotica. It is Mark and Lisa again, but I don't know what the job is yet.
You must have impressed them on the last one.
They asked if I'd be up for more, so it looks like they've come good.
There you are. One reviving drink.
Cheers. You said a drink.
It is a drink.
It tastes like watery coconut.
It's coconut water.
Just when I thought actual coconut was disappointing, you proved to me that there's something that packs even less of a punch.
It counts as one of your five a day.
What about barley?
I think so.
Good, I'll have a scotch.
No, you won't.
Beer, then.
No.
It's got hops. It's practically a salad.
No, Charles. How was the funeral?
A bit showbiz. The dearly departed departed to theme tunes of his own TV shows.
Touching.
It was wall-to-wall celebrities, so Morris was in his element. Oh, it's the voice people. Charles Paris, international voice artiste.
Charles, it's Lisa.
Lisa, are you all right?
I've been away.
You sound...
I've been away.
Yes, you said.
I've just got back.
Lisa, what's wrong? From the tone of her voice, whatever it was sounded very wrong indeed.
It's Mark.
And now was not the time for pedantry, but the little voice in my head was begging her not to say it.
He's passed.
Sometimes I really don't like being a Radio 4 listener. No one wants bad news, but as ever, Francis had been right. If you're going to hear bad news, you really don't want to receive it to an old novelty pop song.
In episode 2 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Susie was Jan Ravens, Bernard, Sean Murray, Tony, Clive Haywood, Lisa, Isabella Inchbald, and Freddie, Philip Bretherton. The receptionist was Abby Andrews, the doctor, Adam Fitzgerald, Big Kev, Taylor Kovacevic Ebong, and the dog owner, Gary Duncan. Dead Room Farce was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Adens.
More next week. That's